Tov, everyone. So basically, I think for Zman Choref, we're going to be in this room. We're at the auditorium. We're in room 40. Everyone found it already? Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about Peos HaRosh, and we were discussing the various opinions, the most machmir, the most mekel. So what I want to discuss with you now is, in terms of, if you want to really pin down the Rishonim, what is the most machmir view in Rishonim, and what is the most mekel, and what's in the middle, and then how do we pask in halacha l'maisa? So the I guess we should start with the most machmir approach is as follows. There's a Rivan. Okay, do you ever hear of the Rivan? Okay, the Rivan was a son-in-law of Rashi. Rashi had a number of daughters, three daughters at least, and the Rivan is one of the sons-in-law. You know, Rabbeinu Tam is a grandson of Rashi. The Ri is a great grandson of Rashi. Just if you want to put things in perspective, so you have Rashi, and then he had the Rivan was a son-in-law. Rabbeinu Tam is a grandson. The Rashbam also a grandson. The Ri is a great grandson. That's how it goes. So, in any event, there is a very interesting Rashi in Maseches Makos. If you look it up. You can see with your own eyes. It's really worth it. It's on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis in Makos. It's a famous, famous piece. It's about 10 lines from the top of Makos Yud Tes Amud Beis in Rashi. And this is what it writes. This is what's stated in Rashi. Is everyone with me? Yeah? It's Yud Tes Amud Beis, 10 lines from the top. And it says as follows. Rabbeinu Gufo Tahar. Right, our Rebbe, his body pure, the yotza nishmaso b'tahara, and his soul departed in purity, lo piresh yoser. He stopped explaining, stopped giving any more pirushim. Mikan ve'elech loshon talmido Rav Yehuda b'Rav Nosson, the Rivan. So it tells you right exactly in Maseches Makos where Rashi concluded his perish and died. Very, very moving spot. Okay, if you go to Makos, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, open it up, take a look, 10 lines from the top, that's where it stopped. So, the whoever wrote this in, it's not really clear, was it the Rivan, was it the editor, not clear who wrote it in, but it's clear, in our printing, it's the Rivan. Now, what's interesting, so therefore, according to what we just discussed, from Makos, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis and on, who is the commentary? It's not Rashi. Who should it be? It's the Rivan. But if you take a look at the Beis Yosef and the Vilna Gaon, whenever they quote from that commentary, from Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis and on, in Makos, so they refer to the Perish as Perish Rashi. That's how they quote it. They just quote Rashi. There's another Sefer called the Sarei HaElef, which I would recommend if you can, if you're looking for an interesting sefer. It's a little off the beaten path, but it's a very interesting sefer. It's called the Sarei HaElef. It's written by Rav Menachem Kasher, who lived in the 20th century. He wrote a sefer called the Torah Shlema. Did anyone hear of the Torah Shlema? If you go in the library, I think we may even have in the base medrash, but certainly in the library, the Torah Shlema is basically Rav Menachem Kasher. This is before computers. Before the Bar Ilan Sidi, he took all Mamori Chazal on every single pasuk in Chumash and brought and collected them together, like the Torah Tumima. I'm sure you guys are familiar with the Torah Tumima, like what the Torah Tumima does, but many more times over. Like it's really, it's a revved up Torah Tumima, and Rav Menachem Kasher did this work. Incredible scholar. Also in the Torah Shlema, you'll find long essays. Like periodically, he'll just like write a long essay, a long halachic essay on something. He was one of the famous Rabbonim who was an advocate of the Manhattan Eruv. And in New York City, there was a whole question whether Manhattan can have a halachic Eruv. And he believed that you can be matir, some at least be Malamed Zechus, that you could get up an Eruv, and that if people were using it, not necessarily Chatchila, but that it should be okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein completely disagreed. He and Rav Moshe Feinstein had a big machlokas about this. But Rav Menachem Kasher, in the Torah Shlema, writes a long, long essay about this topic. He also has a sefer when Pesach rolls around. You should also consider buying it. It's called the Haggadah Shlema. The Haggadah Shlema is basically Rav Menachem Kasher going through the entire Haggadah, bringing down every single Gemara and Rishon and Posek, with at least the major stuff, on every single part of the Haggadah. So it's like all the sources right there. Also written by Rav Menachem Kasher. It's really cool. Tremendous scholar. So he also wrote this book that I just referred to called the Sarei Ha'elef. What is the Sarei Ha'elef? Imagine you're learning Maseches Gittin. You want to know what Rishonim exist on Maseches Gittin, what's Kedai to look up, what's some of the background. You take out the Sarei Ha'elef, you open it up, and he's going to tell you. On Maseches Gittin, there are these Rishonim, and you should know this about this Rishonim. This was reprinted here, and this was this, and this was that. He tells you all the details about every single Rishonim, Perish, and all the little. It's like a little bit of. It's not. I wouldn't call it Chas V'Shalom, a gossip column, but it's like all the raid. It's like all the news on every single Maseches. It's really cool. It's called the Sarei Ha'elef. So this way, whenever you learn a Maseches, you want some background about what you're about to dive into, open up the Sarei Ha'elef, and it'll tell you like all the stuff and all the secrets that not everybody's familiar with on that Gemara. So in the Sarei Ha'elef, in Maseches Makos, what does Rav Menachem Kasher tell us about this parish? Is it Rashi? Is it the Rivan? What is it? So he says, it's not Rashi, and it's not the Rivan, it's really the Rashbam. It's Rashi's grandson. That's the one who really wrote it. Okay, so now we have three possibilities. So I just want to, in the Shir, when we talk about this commentary, we're going to call it the Rivan, because that's how a lot of people refer to it. Classically, since it says it in our text that it's the Rivan, that's how Bizman Hazem, a lot of people refer to it. But just so you know, it's a bit of a question. So in any event, this Rivan that I'm about to quote to you states as follows. This is on Maseches Makos, Daf Chaf Amar Aleph. Okay, the particular one that I'm going to quote to you is Maseches Makos, Daf Chaf Amar Aleph, Dibur Hamaskil Shtaim Mikan. And this is what he writes. He's talking about the payas. Okay, there are two sides. He says, Echad Lamata Min Ha'ozen. So on one side, it's below the ear. Makom shehalechi hatachton yodsei umitpareid sham v'sham nikrapeya b'chudo shalechi shebolet lachutz shesham mitcheles hazakan v'chol ma shelamala al hatzid'a b'chlal peat haroshi. It's not the clearest phraseology here, but what is clear is that buried within this terminology is the possibility to explain, as the Beis Yosef interprets, the Beis Yosef in Simon Shin Pei, in Simon Kuf Pei Aleph in Yoredeya, says that this Rivan that I just read to you really means, when he's talking about what's splitting and how the jaw works, he says that where does the Pei end? So remember I said, what's the top level? It's from, if you take your hairline, go to the top over here and to the back of the ear, right? That curve up here? So you take that imaginary line, and how far down do you go? Go down, 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 all the way to here. Here. So we're talking about really long sideburns. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Like Elvis Presley, like sideburns. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Some people say that Elvis Presley was really Jewish, so it could be he was secretly. But anyway, the Beis Yosef in Simon Shin Pei Aleph has this interpretation of the Rivan. Kuf Pei Aleph has this interpretation. This is what he writes: V'niro, the Kevan the Sveika Doraisa. He acknowledges there are other Rishonim who disagree with the Rivan, but he says since it's a Safik Doraisa, Yesh li zoher milagaleach hatzda'im mikeneged se'ar shebehadachto. You have to be careful from the top ועד למטה מן האוזן מקום שהלך יתחתון יוצא ומתפרד שם וערוך את מקום זה לא תיגע יד בתר או במספריים כאינטר. He says that you should make sure not to cut at all. Okay, not with a blade or misparayim ke'entar. Don't cut at all close to the skin any hair from the top all the way down to this point.
Which is what again?
What is this point? It's sort of a jaw. It's a jawbone, really. But it's where it sort of splits. It's a, that's what it is. Very, very low.
Yeah. Does anybody hold this halacha l'maaseh?
I didn't hear that.
Does anybody hold like this halacha l'maaseh?
I mean, no. Well, he's Ravana goes down to here. Ravana's down to below, where the earlobe, as opposed to going down to the bone.
And why is it this Talmidim don't follow his psak? Mm-hmm. Why is it this Talmidim do not follow his psak?
He's all the way down.
So why is it that his Talmidim do not follow him in that
regard? You're talking about Rukhansi?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll get there. Hold on. Let's first see the what's out there. I'm going to get to the psak in a shortly. Now, so that's the Beis Yosef. Now listen what the Beis Yosef writes, more bekitzer, in his Mechaber, in the Shulchan Aruch. He writes, this is in Simon, in Yordea, Simon Kuf Pei Aleph Sif Tes. This is what he writes. Shir HaPea Mikineged Se'ar Sha'al Padachto Bad Lamata Min Ha'ozen Mokom Shehalechi HaTachton Yotzei Umitpareitsham V'chol Rochev Mokom Zeh Lo Tiga Bo Yad. A lot of people misinterpret this. They say, you're not allowed to touch your peos. That's what he says. Lo tiga bo yad. But what did he really say? If you look in the Beis Yosef, he says, lo tiga yad bitar o b'misparayim ke'intar. That's really what he meant. Don't touch this with a blade, okay, or with scissors to cut. That's why some people have a long, also a very long peos over here. They don't cut it at all. Those were machmir. They said, the Shulchan Aruch says, don't cut it at all. Now, Achronim are very troubled by this Chumra of the Beis Yosef. They basically have four Tainos against this Chumra of the Beis Yosef. What are the four Tainos? So, Taino number one is, the fact is, if you look elsewhere, Meseches Makos, the Rivan seems to contradict the first Rivan that I read to you. For example, the Rivan on the Mishnah in Makos, Daf Chof Amar Aleph, Divramaschil Chayav Al Harosh. That's one place, and there's another one in Makos Chof Aleph Amar Aleph. So one's in Chof Amar Aleph, another's in Makos Chof Aleph Amar Aleph, Divramaschil Ben Pirkei Reisha. So what does the Rivon say? The Rivon there says, what's the shear? He said, from this imaginary line down. So he says, Makom Chibur HaProkim, the joints. What are the joints? The upper jaw and the lower jaw, which is much higher. You're talking about like up here. Right? The middle of the ear, approximately. So many Achronim say, what is the Beis Yosef choosing the Rivan that he quoted? The Rivan in other places contradicts. So, and they say, if that's true, and we know the Beis Yosef himself says that Rov Rishonim also there are many other Rishonim who disagree with the Beis Yosef's interpretation of the first Rivan. So they say it's a sfeika sfeika. How come? Because first of all, the first suffix is what in the world did the Rivan really say? That's one suffix. Maybe the Rivan was makel. And the second suffix is that even if the Rivan was machmir, maybe the halacha is like the other Rishonim. So that's the first time on the Beis Yosef. Why is he so machmir? It's a fake sveika. The second taina is, how could the Beis Yosef call it a safek d'oraisa when it's the Rivan against everybody else? That's not a safek d'oraisa. That's the Rivan is like neged. He's a miut against everybody. It's Rov Rishonim. Remember the pasuk like Rov Rishonim. Third taina. Rav Kook in a sefer called Eretz HaTzvi in Simen Gimel Os Hey. Simen Gimel Os Hey in Eretz HaTzvi. He says, when you look at the Rivan, even the first Rivan that the Beis Yosef quoted, he said you could interpret it to mean also between, you know, at the joint, between the upper jaw and the lower jaw. You don't have to interpret it the way the Beis Yosef interpreted it. There are other ways of interpreting the Rivan. The Rivan is not categorical. It's a bit ambiguous. So that's the third time. And finally, the fourth time is that you look in the Shulchan Aruch himself, the Shulchan Aruch seems to contradict himself. If you look in your Yoredeya, Simen Kuf Pe Aleph, Si'if Aleph, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, Peos Harosh Himstein, Sof Harosh Hu Makom Chiburo Lelechi Miyamin Usmo. Makom Chiburo Lelechi. What does it mean, Makom Chiburo Lelechi? It sounds like a chibur. A chibur is the joints. And if you look at the shach's interpretation on the Shulchan Aruch, right there, the shach says Eitzel Ha'ozen, on the side of the ear, right next to the ear. So many of the Gedolei Achronim say that the chumrah of the Beis Yosef is not how we pass. We don't pass in that way. Someone's be machmir, we're fine, but that's not the. There are four very strong tainas against that psak.
Could you repeat where in the Shulchan Aruch?
It's kuf pe. It's in Yoredeya. Simen kuf pe aleph sif aleph. Now this is obviously the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch and sif test that I quoted to you at the very beginning. That's the most machmir approach, because basically it's saying you cannot cut even one hair anywhere from this top zone down to this bone. Okay? That's a long zone. You can't touch any hair. Now let's take a look at the most makil approach in Rishonim and Poskim. So the most makil there's a Rivan. Ironically, it's in Makos Daf Chof Amid Beis. Dibur Hamaskil Hamashve Tzda'av. Okay, and this is what he writes. V'im hu mashve v'notel kol ha-se'ar shebitzta'av l'marata acharei azno padachto zehu makif sof harosh. So he says, okay, anyone who removes all the hair, kol ha-se'ar, from the top all the way down to the bottom over here, that's a violation. Mashma, if you leave one single hair or two single, you know, something, then what's the din?
You're good.
That's the most makel approach. The Rivan in Makos Daf Chof Amid Beis, Dibur Hamaskil Hamashve.
Is that only one hair in each veil?
That's what it sounds like. He says V'im hu mashve v'notel kol ha-se'ar shebitzta'av zeh hu makif sof harosh. To do kol, you have to do everything. that's what it sounds like. So that's the most makel. In the middle, let's take a middle approach.
Can you just explain the Stiris Rivan?
Can I
explain the Stiris Rivan? He says like you can have one, just a single strand from the top.
He says the only way it's considered makif is since this is the zone. Right, so if you remove all the hair, then you've been successfully been makif yerosh in violation. But if you don't remove all the hair,
so he is the most makel and the most machar at the same time.
Yeah, it's a steer. It seems like a steer.
Okay.
And then just room for to say that that's a fit this is one of the ones that.
Well, just in terms of the zone, you know, it's you're right. In another sense, it's another time. But the Achronim were arguing with the Shulchan Aruch just in terms of what's the zone.
You can get it even more direct. Right. Saying the Rivan himself.
Right. The Rivan himself also says that maybe you have to remove all of it,
right,
which is another time. But we don't pass in the end. All the Achronim don't hold it according to that kula. Even the Shulchan Aruch himself doesn't hold. No one holds that way. But in terms of the question of how big the zone is, then that was the issue. Okay. So what's a middle opinion? So the middle opinion is the Rav Rishonim. Rav Rishonim is the middle opinion, and they say as follows. First of all, who are they? Rashi in Masechet Shavuos, Daf Beis Amud Beis, Divrei Maskil Al HaRosh, the Ritva in Makos, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, the Nimuka Yosef in Makos, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. So basically, you have Rashi, the Ritva, and the Nimuka Yosef. Rashi, Ritva, and Nimuka Yosef, and also importantly for Halacha is the Tur, the Tur in Yoredeas and Mekuf Bei Aleph. And this is what they all say. They say as follows, that the zone is from the top, this imaginary line that we described, down to the joints, joining the upper jaw and the lower jaw. Okay, that'll be it. Which is basically the middle of the ear, around the middle of the ear. Again, I pointed out to you, you may feel a bone over here because it's covering the joint. There's a small bone that actually covers the joint. And as I mentioned to you, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeah, Kuf Pei Aleph, Sif Aleph, he sounds that way. That's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch sounds like in Kuf Pei Aleph, Aleph, and Yoredeah. So most people assume that way. We're gonna talk about that soon. But most people assume like the Rav Rishonim and that first Sif of the Shulchan Aruch. Now there are though some other middle views, like there are other various levels to this middle view. So watch this. One middle view is in Rishonim is as follows. The Rambam, this is, you can look it up in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. It's a Perek Yud Beis Halachavov, and the Rambam basically sounds like as follows: that min haTorah, if you leave two hairs, a shear of two hairs, you didn't violate it. The only problem is if you remove and you leave only one hair, or you remove all the hairs, then there's a violation. But if there are at least two hairs left in the peah zone, then you're okay. Okay, that's what it sounds like from the Rambam. And that's what it sounds like from the Rambam. Now, the only thing is, in the Rambam says mitachas laozen. Okay, mitachas laozen. So what is a simple reading of mitachas laozen?
The bottom of the ear.
The bottom of the ear. So wherever your ear, take your ear and you go down to here. Okay, that would be here. So the Rambam says if you leave from here down to below the ear at least two hairs, you're okay, minator. But if you remove all of them or leave only one hair, then it's a violation, minator. Then the Rambam says, amid the Rabbanon, you have to leave at least four hairs. That's what I'm right. But, and then there's another girsa in the Rambam that says, there's a Yesh Garsim, that it's 40. So there seems to be a debate exactly what the right girsa in the Rambam is that you have to leave four hairs or 40 hairs. Okay, so far so good?
How is that?
I'm going to talk about that. We're going to get there. But for now, let's just assume that whatever that shear is, you have to leave either 4 or 40. And why would you have to leave at least 40 midrabanan? Because of marasayin. Okay, and that's how the Chasam Sofer interprets the Rambam. The Chasam Sofer, and also a later Achron called the Imre Yosher. Do you ever hear of the Imre Yosher? His name is Rav Meir Arik. Rav Meir Arik lived in Tarnow, Poland. Anyone ever go to Poland? Right, in Poland? Do you remember the place where they had the area for the children? It was a special Tarnow. The Tarnow. So Meir Arik was from that area. The Imre Yosher came from there. So anyway, he also has this interpretation of the Rambam that as I just explained to you. Now, the Imre Yosher then goes ahead, this Rav from Tarnow, he says that he thinks that Rov Rishonim really believe this way as well. That really, the only, you know, it's Midaraisa, there is a, let me just get this correct. Yeah. the way he seems to interpret it is that he thinks that according to Rav Rishonim, midoraisa, if you go from this imaginary line down to below the ear, okay, so midoraisa, all you need to leave is two or four, whatever it may be. Two. But midrabanan, it's usur to cut any hair off between the zone. Okay, so that's a little bit more machmir. Right? Now, midrabanan, you can't cut any of the hair between the zone. So that's a bit of a chiddush, because he's saying the isur is an isur drabanan and an isur daraisa of cutting hair, but midraisa, the isur is cutting off and leaving and cutting off everything or leaving only one. Okay, but again, midrabanan, according to the Meriosher, Rov Rishonim hold that you can't cut any of the hair between the top line down to below the ear. Now, the way Rav Meir Arik explains Rov Rishonim, and this is why most people hold, what does it mean below the ear? Or what does it mean to the ear? When is it below the ear? In other words, he actually says the drawbone, this joint over here. Over here, that's what he says. And that's what most people do today. But then Rav Meir Arik goes ahead and says, according to the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch says mitachas la'ozen, and when people are more machmir according to the Shulchan Aruch, he has a different interpretation. He says, the Shulchan Aruch, remember, went against Rav Rishonim, right? So the Shulchan Aruch, he said, if you want to be machmir for the Shulchan Aruch, what does it mean? Not that it's also to remove all the hair from, excuse me, that it's also to remove any hair between here and the midpoint of the ear, but rather, the Shulchan Aruch said, but mitachas la'ozen. So he says, what does the Shulchan Aruch really mean, mitachas la'ozen? He says, he said, many people interpret it as this flap. He said, he doesn't think that's true. He said, he thinks it means, if you guys, like, hold on to your ear for a second, there's a hard cartilage area where your ear is. Like, if you take the flap, you go up a little bit further, there's hard cartilage. He says, that is mitachas la'ozen. That's your ear. So the hard cartilage is the point. So he says, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you have to make sure that between this zone and the hard cartilage of your ear, you don't cut. Okay? Which is about where my pads are. About. Okay? That's the Imre Yosha's interpretation of the most machmir view of the Shulchan Aruch. That's how he understands it. The Imre Yosher then goes on to say that he has a havamina that maybe the Shulchan Aruch really meant mitachat of the flexible skin, of the soft skin of the ear. So that would be, that basically gets where Rav Lichtenstein gets. So in terms of development of how that works, basically the poshut reading of the Shulchan Aruch in Siftes, and the way you do the, you know, his and the Beis Yosef interpretation of the Rivan is all the way down to here. Okay, the Imre Yosher realigns that. He says, no, he doesn't think that's the real way to read it. He says it means the ear, underneath the ear. What's underneath the ear? It's either underneath the lobe. He thinks really more correctly, it's the hard cartilage. That's according to the most machmir shitas yachid, the Rivan and that one sif, the sif test in Shulchan Aruch. And then the Imre Yosher says, Rov Rishonim will say to the mid ear, and he says the Isser is an Isser Darabonon to remove that hair. But you mean the Rishonim, Pashtus, it sounds like an Isser Daraisa, but the Imre Yosher says, no, it's an Isser Darabonon. The Daraisa means to remove everything.
You see, you can't cut any of the hair. Does that mean you can't even trim it, or you can't use like a razor?
Okay, so now the question is how much? That's the next question. How much can you cut? Does anyone not understand this, or we're good? I can clarify further if it's not clear.
When you said according, you said that the Imre Moshe had a havamina that it might be until where?
Until the to beneath the lobe, the soft part.
But I thought we said like before that it means like below the flap. Isn't that you said?
That's the point. That's below the flap. He thought it's possible to interpret the Shulchan Aruch that way. But that was a havamina, but he didn't really think so. He thought, if you want to interpret the most, if you want to hold like the most machmir view of the Shulchan Aruch, he thought that would be beneath the hard cartilage. And it's right where the hard cartilage ends. That's the line.
Most Akhonim interpret the Shulchan Aruch as being below,
very
the,
low,
even lower.
Yeah, down to here. Okay. So Rav Lichtenstein. Didn't go that far, but apparently he.
What is this called?
Corner Jobon. Okay. Yeah.
What do you mean when you said there could be no real truth amongst master? He's only a player.
I didn't hear you.
What do you mean when you say that Imre Yosher is the most machmer?
No, no, not that he's the most machmer. He said that Imre Yosher gives you basically three approaches. He says if you want to have, if you want to paskin like the most machmer view in the Shulchan Aruch, which is mitachas laozen, okay, which is based on one position of the, you know, one position of the Rivan, then he said that would bring you. He said he has a havamina that would bring you to below the flap, which is what Rav Lichtenstein does. But Imre Yosher himself says he doesn't think that, that that's correct. And he thought the most correct interpretation would be underneath the hard cartilage. That would be the most machmir interpretation of the Shulchan Aruch. And then he says, according to Rav Rishonim, the din is only up until the middle of the ear, to that to the joint. That's what he says. And additionally, his kaddish is that the isser is only isser darabon. It's not isser daraisa. The isser daraisa is to remove all, you know, up to two hairs is okay. Daraisa below that is an isser daraisa. That's what he suggests, or all of it. Now, just by the way, again, who's correct? Remember we discussed this. I think the end of last year. But the Imre Yosher uses this in terms of determining a psak. He said he thinks that there's very strong proof, or physiological proof, that Rav Rishonim are correct. Because he said, look at a kid, or a little child, doesn't have a beard, so all they have is hair on the head. Right? So that's the great, the Isser is Peyas HaRosh. So he said, it's great, a little child is the standard for what where the end of one's hair is on one's head. So look, he said, just go look where the hair is growing out of their head, and it's quite high. I mean, at least it's, you know, it's not below the bone. It's certainly not below the bone. And he said, moreover, he said, look at when people turn gray, and if they have a beard. So either, as I pointed out to you, either their beard will go gray first, or the hair will go gray first. Not sometimes it'll be together, but he said if it doesn't happen together. So he said, look, you can see where the line is. It's high. It's not low. It's usually pretty high. So he thought just physiologically there was a lot of proof you know, to that. I took it upon myself just to check and look at... is it okay if we actually stop recording? Or just pause the recording at this point, if it's okay? It's